Hey, good morning. Good to see you. Oh, man, wasn't that great worship this morning? That was so encouraging. I just really feel like God is doing something really, really fresh, and even this morning. We'll get to that in a moment. Before I dive into my message, I just want to share a couple of personal notes. As most of you know, my wife and I are going to be transitioning to the Twin Cities this summer. So we're getting ready for our move. Actually, 2 weeks from today, May 5th, is going to be kind of my time that I'm wrapping up my day-to-day responsibilities on staff here at the Vineyard. With that said, we're going to be back and forth for a couple months. We've got to sell our house and get transitioned, all of that, including at the end of June, we're going to be tagging on with one of our summer barbecues, and they're going to do a little bit of a send-off for Andre and I there. So you can put that on your calendar there. We'd love to see you. We'll be back and forth on some Sundays, even after the May 5th, but it'll be really, really good. Just along those lines, I just wanted to say a heartfelt thanks. You know, when we announced that we were making this transition, I had a number of people say, like, oh my gosh, like, I'm so happy and I'm so sad, you know, all that. So thank you for your kind words of encouragement, your prayers, just all the different things. They've meant so much to us. This is actually the third time in 25 years that Andrea and I have, like, embarked on a new adventure kind of in the unknown. God just keeps doing this with us, you know, where we just step into new things. And so we're excited to explore what God has for us and what he's going to open up for us as we invest in some cross-cultural ministry opportunities through some connections that we've got with Spanish-speaking Vineyard churches down in the Twin Cities. I'm going to be starting a master's program in the fall, doing a master's in intercultural ministry leadership, so that'll tag really long, right along with that. And we're also really grateful. A big piece of this move is so we can be closer to our parents as they continue into their later years. As I was praying about this morning, I felt drawn to share a quote from John Wimber. He's the founding leader of Vineyard Churches, and this was hugely impactful to me over these past 6 months. And the quote goes like this. The economy of the kingdom of God is quite simple. Every new step in the kingdom costs us everything we have gained to date. Every new step may cost us all the reputation and security that we have accumulated to that point. And the disciple is always ready to take that next step. If there's anything that characterizes Christian maturity, it's the willingness to become a beginner again for Jesus Christ. It's the willingness to put our hand in his and say, I'm scared half to death, but I will go with you. I'll risk everything to go with you, for you are the pearl of great price. Again, mentioned, like, this quote was hugely influential for me, particularly last fall, as Andrea and I were getting into more of the nitty-gritty about the discernment process, about making this transition. You know, like Wimber says, as disciples of Jesus, we always need to be prepared to take the next step, be willing to take the next risk in order to respond to God's call and to do that for the sake of his kingdom. And so for us, as we are getting closer and closer to this next step, it's exciting. And as he shares, like, it's a little unnerving, like a little scary to step into the unknown. Like, we know some of the trajectory of where God, like, God is leading us. We don't know all the details yet, okay? And so we step out. We move towards that, and we trust that God's going to do that. Because in the end, the very best thing is for us to put our hands in Jesus, in his hand, and say, let's go. Also, in praying about today, I felt like this little quote was for a number of you. I felt like there was maybe even like a prophetic word for some of you today, where this is the exact nudge that you need to be able to step out into some of the things that God's been putting on your heart. Kingdom dreams, kingdom desires, things that have been stirring in you, but up to this point, for whatever reason, you haven't jumped into that. Maybe today is a day for you to heal that little bit of extra boost from the Holy Spirit and take a step towards that. Second note that I want to share before getting the message, I just want to communicate just my hope and confidence in this church, in Duluth Vineyard Church. I've been on staff here almost 7.5 years. We've been through a lot, not only last year, but really over the last 4 or 5 years. You know, we've been through a lot as a church. And yet, I am incredibly hopeful. I'm incredibly expectant for what God is going to do. I think we even sense a little bit of that this morning, right? Like there's this bubbling up of God's presence, of his renewed joy, that there's a new day coming, that there's wonderful things around the corner, even as we've had to experience so, so many things. I believe that God's at work. I believe that he will be at work to shape this church community into an even more beautiful outpost of the kingdom of God. So be encouraged, okay? Remain steadfast. Expect it. Keep leaning into that. I truly believe that the best days are ahead for Duluth Vineyard. I'd love to pray for us along those lines before I get in. God, thank you. Again, thank you for these tangible ways that we know that you're near. God, the joy that rises up as we sing. God, the bits of your presence that we experience. God, the smile on each other's faces. God, the hope and encouragement that we receive as we take in your word. And so, God, would you have your way? Holy Spirit, come. Your kingdom come. Your will be done right here, God, in Duluth Vineyard, right here in the Twin Ports, right here in our lives, God. Let it be so. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, into our message. We started a few weeks ago a new sermon series. We're calling it Fire and Life. We're looking at the New Testament books, the New Testament letters of 1st and 2nd Peter. Even though these texts were originally written to followers of Jesus nearly 2,000 years ago, they can have tremendous application to our lives as well. And here's why. It can be really difficult. You know this. It can be really difficult to be a person of faith in today's current cultural context. You know, following Christ means that you have decided to live by a set of principles that's molded by the scriptures and by the person of Jesus rather than by public opinion. And even though we may not experience the intensity of persecution that some of the people of Peter's day did, there can still be fiery trials that we experience, and they test us to the very core. Okay, so what do we do in light of that? You know, how do we embrace living, as Peter talked about, living as resident aliens in a world that's running on a completely different operating system? This morning, we're going to explore how understanding the grand story that we're in can help us to navigate this uncertain territory. God's story of rescue goes back thousands of years, and it will extend to the very, very end. And so for us, as we understand how we fit into this expansive story of salvation, it helps us to live right now, to live well right now, even in the midst of fiery trials. More specifically, we're going to look at how grasping some of these great items about the past, the present, the future realities of God's salvation can make all the difference in the choices that we make as followers of Jesus right now here today. So let's revisit a bit of 1 Peter 1, and this is going to help set the stage for our talk this morning. 1 Peter 1, starting in verse 3. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power, until you receive the salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. And so be truly glad. This is a wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show you that your faith is genuine. It is by being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. We'll pause there for a second. Just remind us a little bit of the context, okay? So first century, Peter's likely writing to a group of Christians that are experiencing some amazing disorientation. Likely Christians that have been displaced from Rome, relocated to a remote part of the Middle East. They were reeling from not only the physical disorientation, but also the spiritual isolation of this resettlement. And Peter's writing to them to encourage them to hold on to this salvation and this hope that Jesus has secured for them. Okay, continue on, verse 8. Peter continues to write, "You love Christ even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him, and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls." This salvation was something that even the prophets wanted to know more about when they prophesied about this glorious or gracious salvation prepared for you. They wondered what time or situation the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about when he told them in advance about Christ's suffering and his great glory afterward. And they were told that their messages were not for themselves, but for you. And now this good news has been announced to you by those who preached in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. It is all so wonderful that even the angels are eagerly watching these things happen. Get your mind around that. There's so much good stuff going on here on earth that the angels are like, wow, do you see that? Look at what God is doing. Okay, so in these verses, Peter hits on this theme of salvation. Numerous times. As we'll see today, the story of salvation, it has past, present, future qualities to it. And here's the main point I think he's trying to get at. If we know where the story has been, if we know where the story is going, then that can give us greater confidence and perseverance in the part of the story that we're in right now. Let's begin by looking at the historic nature of our salvation. I mean, it's important to grasp that our salvation is deeply grounded in history. The rescue that we're invited into now is rooted in a story that began long, long ago. You see, Christianity is not just a mere philosophy. It's a historic faith. I mean, think about what we celebrated a few weeks ago with Good Friday and with Easter. You know, we don't simply remember Jesus' teachings. Christians believe that Jesus was a real person that died a real death and that he was raised to life again on that first Easter morning. Jesus' life, his death, his resurrection were not merely symbolic. They accomplished real things. Jesus led the most perfect life, the perfect life that none of us could. And when he went to the cross, he did that in our place. It was a substitutionary thing. He went there so that we didn't have to, dying the death that was rightfully ours, paying the consequences, the debt for our sin. And then his resurrection, it was this launch pad for a brand new category of humanity, people that live in and through the power of the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. As verse 3 says, we have been born again because God raised Jesus from the dead. So not only that, these events, they all point, they were all foretold by the prophets of long ago. Now this is one of the things that Peter points out here in this first chapter. Hundreds of years before Jesus was born, these prophets got a glimpse of this salvation that Jesus would secure. Here's how the NIV translation puts verses 10 and 11. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing to when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. Okay, so I think this is one of the key items that Peter's trying to get across. You know, that this story of salvation, it didn't begin with us, it won't end with us, but thankfully it includes us. People from long ago, they were searching intently to understand how all of these events were going to fit together. And in Jesus, they all came to their fulfillment. These are real items in history, and they're meant to bring us real hope and security. So with that in mind, here's a practical way that we can lean further into this. So what the prophets did long ago, by looking ahead, we can do by looking back. We can search intently. We can investigate with great care how this grand story of God's rescue all fits together. More specifically, through the years, I've found that understanding how all the dots connect in Scripture can build our faith and strengthen our resilience. There's immense value in reading and searching out the whole of the Bible. For example, in 1 Peter 1, it references prophecies about Jesus' suffering. You know, books of the Old Testament, like Isaiah, are full of those prophetic pictures, these little glimpses of what was to come. Hundreds of years before Jesus showed up on the scene, they were showing and pointing to this is what's going to happen with this promised Messiah. I remember for myself as a young Christian, and I was just getting my way in familiarity to the whole Bible. I remember reading passages like those in Isaiah and then jumping ahead and reading the gospel stories, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, about Jesus, and like see all the dots connect. I'm like, holy cow, like God knew what he was doing. He was setting this in motion, and that was all for us. It was even all for me. You know, in later years, another example, the book of Hebrews has been a key piece of the New Testament that I've just loved to teach on, in large part because the book of Hebrews unpacks a number of the symbolisms, the ideas that we find in the Old Testament about the sacrificial system and, you know, all these different elements, and they show how Jesus is the great high priest. Jesus is the one that comes to fulfill all of those things. It all comes together in him. It's been said that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. It all fits together. You know, there's this one big grand story that God is telling of his love and his rescue of humanity, but it can take a little bit of work to see how all of that fits together. And so along the lines, it's my last message on a weekend here, so I'm going to give you some homework. You guys can just go at this here, okay? Here's some homework I want you to go at. First of all, spend some regular time in the whole Bible, okay? I know it's great. I do this all the time too. You know, you've got our favorite spots that we go back to, but as much as you can, try to just get a wide array of the whole scriptures. Even if there's stuff that doesn't make total sense right away, just keep at it. It's going to help you to understand how all of these things fit together. Secondly, utilize resources to help understand how it all fits together. This is one of the reasons why I love folks like the people from the Bible Project. You know, their goal in creating the Bible Project was to help people to understand the grand narrative of Scripture, okay? So they've got videos and podcasts and articles and all of those different things, taking super smart theological concepts and trying to boil those down so regular folks like you and me can be able to connect with this amazing story of God's love and his rescue. Again, it's not just about filling our heads. It's about understanding what God has done. You know, it's another benefit of having like a good study Bible or some other resources that can just help you to piece through some of the things that you're reading. Or even parents, you know, if you're wanting to get your kids into this, a resource like the Jesus Storybook Bible. One of the things I love about that is that at the end of every one of the Bible stories, they point it back and they show how that points to Jesus, how this piece of the story is looking ahead to who Jesus is and what he has done. And then third, engage with others about what you are learning and the questions that you have. This is the value of things like small groups, where we're in each other's lives. We're able to bounce those things off one another. We can share the things that we're learning, the questions that we have, not only the things that we're reading about in the Bible, but also in our lives, you know, the items that we're experiencing. We hear what other people are experiencing, and that helps to build our strength, build that perseverance, build that resiliency so we can persevere through difficult times. So as I mentioned a moment ago, beyond building our knowledge base, each one of these efforts are going to strengthen your resilience for when trials will come. There's comfort in knowing that God has been at work in people's lives long before you and I showed up on the scene, and grasping these elements of that past work can fill us with courage right now. Okay, let's keep moving on. Here's the next item about the story of our salvation. Secondly, our salvation fills us with hopeful expectation about the future. Hopeful expectation about the future. Look again at verses 3-5 from today's passage. Peter writes, "Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive the salvation which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see." So in this section, Peter, he's looking ahead. He's pointing towards these future blessings of salvation. It's like an inheritance that's kept safe for us. It's incorruptible, not subject to the decay of this world. But there's much of that that is reserved for the future and is waiting to be revealed. One of the phrases that you might hear us talk about, you know, use at different points here at the Vineyard is this this phrase of the already and the not yet of God's kingdom. And that has a bunch of different applications to it. But here's where that intersects with what we're talking about today. Some of what Jesus offers us, we can experience right now. We get the whole deal right now. And there are other aspects that are still yet to come. It's both of those at the same time. So we're in this in-between time, you know, where we get to experience great things from God, and there's inheritance, there's these pieces that are still yet to come. How do we live in that in-between space? Okay, here's one encouragement. What we experience in part now gives us hope about what will come in full later. Basically, what we do now, we can do now what the Old Testament prophets did long ago. Okay, so again, centuries before Jesus was showing up on the scene, they got these little glimpses, these little prophetic pictures about what was to come. They couldn't see the whole picture, but what they saw was enough to build their anticipation, their expectation. They leaned in to wonder how this grand story was all going to unfold. And then they spoke with this sense that they were not even just serving themselves, but they were actually serving future generations where this would all come to pass. So similarly for us, we know in part now. We see in part now, but even those little parts can build our expectation, knowing that what God has in store for the future is completely secure. I love how the Apostle Paul describes this dynamic in 1 Corinthians 13. He writes, "For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. For now we only see a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." You see this? It's like this is the real experience of life. Like we just get little glimpses, but those glimpses are part of the whole. This is moving somewhere. Okay, and so here's my advice to you. Don't let the partial experience of right now steal your hope about what is to come. It really is secure. God really is true to his word. What we know in part now, we will know in full later. I know in my life, a huge boost that I've experienced in navigating this in-between space has been the ongoing experience of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Friends, the Holy Spirit is God's guarantee that we will receive what is to come. Let me share a little illustration to help that sink in a little bit. So next month, we're going to be listing our house, getting ready to move, going to put our house on the market. And so, you know, we'll have people that are coming to do tours. Eventually, there'll be somebody, some folks that want to put in an offer on the house. When somebody submits paperwork to put an offer on the house, along with that paperwork, what else do they put with that paperwork? What else do they submit? Earnest money, right? Earnest money, okay? It's a simple. They attach a check communicating that they are really serious about this purchase. It's a small but significant way to say, if you say yes to my offer, I'll come through with the rest of what is needed. Okay, with that illustration in mind, read with me Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. Listen to what Paul says. He says, now you Gentiles, you non-Jews, you've heard the truth, this good news that God saves you. Again, this theme of salvation. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by what? By giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. And he did this so that we would praise and glorify him. Okay, so you see the connections? The Holy Spirit is God's guarantee, God's deposit, God's earnest money, if you'd put it that way, that he is good on the whole deal, okay? God's not going to leave you hanging. You are going to receive some of what he has for you right now, but a whole lot more later. That's what Peter is pointing us towards. And here's how that builds our expectancy. Just like that $1,000 or $2,000 check of earnest money on a house offer, that spends just the same as the tens of thousands of dollars that would come later. Okay? It's the same deal. Our experience of the Holy Spirit is the real thing. There's just a whole lot more to come as we get closer to the end. There's a whole inheritance of Holy Spirit good stuff waiting for us when the fullness of God's kingdom is fully revealed. And so knowing that, trusting that, here's what that does. That can help us keep on keeping on in the midst of present day difficulties. Again, if we know where it's going, that can help us to have perseverance right now. I think that's what Paul was getting at in Ephesians 1. I think that's what Peter's pointing towards in his letter to those first century Christians. Let me give you another example. If you were here last Sunday at the end of the message, Doug Erickson spent some extended time just helping us open up to more and more experience with God. And holy cow, wow, there were some really powerful things that took place last weekend. Personal deposits of the Holy Spirit, not only bringing strength and empowerment right for that present day, but here's what it is. It's like a down payment, a promise to know that we can have this expectation that God will continue to pour out his Spirit on us until the very end. That's, friends, that's just how God is. I think God has some more really good stuff even for us along those lines today. So you're seeing how this is all fitting together, okay? How each piece of what we're talking about plays into the other. Again, if we know where the story's been, if we know where the story is going, then we can have greater confidence, greater perseverance in the part of the story that we find ourselves in right now. Okay, let's finish up by touching on how our salvation gives us living hope right now. Gives us living hope right now today. Back to 1 Peter 1. Writes, praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Folks, we can have living hope even in the midst of trials. Our experiences of joy aren't dictated by our circumstances. We can have a superseding kind of peace even when we face intense difficulties. That's because the power of living hope is stronger than the power of the trials that we face. And everything that we've been talking about this morning, it all comes to a head right here. That what Jesus has done, it's finished. That's what he said on the cross, right? It is finished. It's a done deal. And what will to come in the future is secure. Where we experience God, however, is right now. It's where this all intersects. We only have this moment. This moment is where we get to experience God's power and his presence and have that living hope rise up in us. And so where do you need that today? In your life, where do you need more of that living hope? You know, in the language of 1 Peter, are you experiencing some fiery kind of trials? Are you feeling the pressure of not quite fitting into this world, trying to navigate this space? It's like, man, this is not my home ultimately. You know, a number of you even have been experiencing repeated instances of what we would call like spiritual warfare. Like there's another team on the field, folks. I don't know if you remember this, but like we have a real enemy that doesn't play fair. Okay, and so he's going to mess with you. He's going to mess with your families. He's going to mess with your relationships, all these different things just to try to beat you down, try and get you off track. That is a real deal that we experience in the midst of following Jesus. Okay? And so how do we live in the midst of that? We grasp onto this living hope. You know, for some, just it's the accumulation of your circumstances. It just snowed you over. But even there, we are promised access to a living and enduring kind of hope. Okay, so I don't know what that looks like for you. I don't know what that means for you, but I guess that you do, okay? No matter what you're facing, even this morning, I believe that God desires to fill you, infuse you with a fresh deposit of hope. Okay, so if that's true, what's the way in? God wants to give us hope. How do we access that? Friends, the way into hope is trust. It is all about trust. It's all about dependency. It's all about trust in him rather than us. Let's look back at verses 8 and 9. Peter says, you love Christ even though you've never seen him. Like you don't see him now, but you trust him, and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. And the reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. The access point to this story of salvation is trust. We see the person of Jesus. We see what he has done. We see what the promises of God are about what will happen in the future. And we say, there's no better deal. There's nothing better on the planet. This is the pearl of great price. And we say, I am all in. This is what I have to trust my life in. There's something that's happened in the past that also guarantees our future, but it requires for us to express trust right now in the present. Are you ready to take a step in that direction? I believe that God is ready to meet you right there. Why don't you go ahead and stand up, and let's lean into this a little bit further. As I was just thinking about finishing up this morning, another scripture that came to my mind was this one from Romans 15:13. It's a really good one to memorize. if you get a chance. It goes like this. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, the difference maker is not your grit, it's not your smarts, it's not your discipline, all that type of stuff. The difference maker is the power of the Holy Spirit filling you from the inside out and just bringing you hope that you couldn't access any other way. And so, God, we just ask that you would do that even right now this morning. God, you know every single person. You know their circumstances, God. You know the things that they have faced, that they are facing, that they will face. And God, what we need right in these moments is just to be filled with a hope outside of us. And so just come even more right now, God. Bring up just a well of that living hope. God, build expectancy in us as we look back and we look ahead. Just knowing that you're going to be true to your word, that you're going to be doing all that you have promised to do. I think there's a number of us today where, like, this has just been bubbling up, like this deep, deep hunger for a deposit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I think that's so much of what we experienced even last weekend. It's like you just know, like, this is desperately what I need. And God's just growing this in you. I think for a number of people, like, there's just another wave, even today, of the Holy Spirit's presence that he wants to deposit in you. Just a fresh deposit of him. So come, Lord, come even more. Now, some of you, all you can see is a trial in front of you, and you might just be like, oh God, help. Like, that's all the prayer that you can get out. That is a spot that God can meet you in. So, Holy Spirit, would you come? Come with your power. Come with your presence. Come with your hope, Lord. Fill us, God, we pray. If you're on our mystery team, why don't you start to make your way down? I just think there's some really powerful, personal things that God maybe want to access. Even just going back to some of the things I shared right at the beginning of the message. Again, I think there's a few of you. I don't know how big this group is. But some of you that, like, that nudge about, like, taking the next risk from God, with God, is like your word. That's what God's speaking to you today. We're going to go back into some worship. We're going to take communion. So we've been shifting around our order of service a little bit. So as we go back into some singing, we've got communion elements both in the front and the rear of the auditorium. You can go ahead and access that. Have that be an avenue from which that you can take in and express this hope that you have in Christ. And then we'll also have prayer ministry up here. And so come on down, experience that fresh deposit of the Holy Spirit that he has for you today. Thanks for coming here to the Vineyard. Let's engage with God. Let's see what he's got for us this